This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a video for for us as parents and those who are involved with children to discipline, you know, discipline children. How do you actually get the discipline right? How do you actually balance the discipline of children? So the reason why I'm doing all of this is because I've had a number of calls, and in particular I've had parents telling me about their children. One of the things they've done is that they've actually given their children a lot of the things that the children need, and in doing so they thought that they've solved the problem, because the more gifts you give to your children, the better they're supposed to be, right? I mean, you know, they'll be happy children. You've given so much to them that they will always look up to you as parents, giving them everything they want and looking up to you. Well, unfortunately, those parents haven't understood what they've done. So, you know, they've given them their Xboxes or their PS4s. They've given them the education they need. They provided them the clothes, and not only clothes, the branded clothes. Okay, so the Nikes, the Adidas, or you know, whatever else, hype and everything else that they've provided for their children. And, you know, they're paying for their tuition and other things. And, you know, food's always on the table. You know, you're giving them what they want, and you're thinking, well, I've given them all the entertainment they want. I've given them all the things they need. Now I should be a person who they respect, and they'll always listen to me, and I'll get, you know, them to do what I want them to do, and it'll be all a happy life. Well, one big mistake you've made is, and you don't realize this as a parent, that you've actually given them too much. Okay, now that's one ingredient to children becoming disobedient. The opposite is true as well. When you don't give them what they need and you deprive them from a lot of things, that could be another ingredient for them disobeying you. But in disciplining children, you have to understand that they actually sometimes disobey you, standing on the very foundation of the many gifts they've received from you. It's a basic psychology, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, "Kalla innal insana layatgha ar-ra'ahu istaghna." Allah says that the human disobeys Allah Azza wa Jalla because the human sees that it's independent from Allah. Now, the human goes beyond limits. Why? Because the human sees that, you know, I've received a lot from God, and I'm going to continuously receive this from God. The same applies between human and human relationship. When there are two human beings and one of them is giving the other, you know, it could be husband and wife. So a husband's doing a lot for the wife. It could be a wife to a husband. Wife is doing a lot for the wife. It could be a parent and a child. So a parent is doing a lot for the child. And in this relationship, what's happened is that the receiver has kind of subconsciously thought that, you know what, these things are going to carry on coming in. I'm going to receive this for a long period of time. What then happens is that the receiver, believing that these things will never disappear, starts to become, you know, independent in the outright, thinking that, you know what, I can do what I want and I'm still going to get all of this stuff. It's a basic mistake that people make, both on the receiving end and on the giving end. Because the giver thinks that, hang on a minute, I gave so much to this individual, and this individual is actually disobeying me more and more. You know, this individual disrespects me. The more I'm giving them, the less appreciated, you know, I feel. And it's kind of a little bit of a whirlwind, because you're feeding into it and you're blaming the other person. But what you don't understand is you're part of the problem. And I'm not saying to you to give up all the things you're giving to the other person. No. Because if you suddenly stop giving your child, or giving, you know, whoever it is, okay, it could be husband or wife, husband or wife, if you suddenly do all the good things you do for them, then you've spoiled the relationship completely. But if you deprive them of one of those things, and you slowly give them a message that, look, if you want me to carry on giving you all of those things, then you better, you know, respect and appreciate what you've got, it works. So let me give you an example. You know, I've at this moment, I've got a 12-year-old and he's turning 13. And like many parents out there, the worst age you can have for boys is 12 to 14. Now, where I've assessed this is that I used to teach in an Islamic school, okay? And we noticed this as teachers in a secondary Islamic school. You know, it was Yusuf Islam Secondary Islamic School, Bronsbury College for Boys. I taught there from year 2000 to year 2003. And as staff, we knew this, that they come in at the age of 11, 12, and these boys are really mashallah, you know, they're so cute, right? You know, I'm not a pedophile, by the way. None of us were. But, you know, these boys are mashallah, you know, they've got nice, not nice features, they're nice and cute, and they look so innocent, and mashallah. And that's at the age of 11, this is year 7 in school, okay? So age of 11, turning 12, they're very good, disciplined, obedient children. And when you look at the other end, when they're 15 to 16, they're also, mashallah, you know, they've grown up now and they've got beards or, you know, mustaches, whatever. their voices are kind of broken. And, you know, they've got Adam's apple sticking out and, you know, they've kind of calmed down, okay? And they want to focus in life now and they want to do what they're good at, okay? They want to care for their studies and do well in the studies. In between that period, year 8, year 9, and partially year 10, they go through a phase, what we teachers knew, that they're going to go through this boisterous stage where they all change. Hormonal changes are going in. And what happens is they kind of growing from boys to men, and they really challenge you at that age. Okay, girls, it happens between the age of about 11 to about 13. So it's slightly earlier for girls and slightly later for boys. Now, what then happens is you get to a part where you feel, subhanallah al-azim, you know, you're dealing with the worst of that child's life. Now, they can't understand what's happening to them. And if you smack them or hit them, or if you scold them, or if you treat them in a way where they feel that the world is against us, or why are these adults making so many rules, okay? They go through this phase where they can't fully understand what's happening. You know, they're suddenly growing into these, you know, they're growing 1 foot tall within a space of one, 2 years, okay? They are now becoming semi-adults. And they kind of feel they know everything. They kind of feel they're really smart. They're smarter than you. What do you know? You know, they're better at you at the smartphones. They're better than you on the laptop. They're better than you in you know, much of the stuff that is modern and new to them, which is something that you're having a difficult time catching up in. Now, here's the problem. If you can't balance the discipline, you're going to break these kids. And I've seen that happen more than enough. And just this week, I've had a couple of calls and it's really concerned me. I mean, these are now, you know, boys or girls who've reached the end of their teenagers. And the parents didn't get the balance right. So there's two things that parents get wrong. One is to assume that the more you give them, the more obedient they're going to become. And that is wrong. Because there's got to be a balance between giving them and not giving them. Because the moment you give them, yes, it creates a love. But the time you don't give them, you give them the opportunity to have sabr and patience. So when you give them, it's shukr, and you create a sense of appreciation within them. But if you carry on giving, then they lose that they lose that mindset of shukr, shukr. It becomes normal to receive a lot of things from parents. But the other side to it is that if you don't give them anything at all, it creates a resentful sort of heart, and a heart that dislikes this individual because you're not giving anything. So you need to give something and give some things, but you can't go over the top. Because if you go over the top, then the shukr element is gone. The element of appreciation is gone. But at the same time, if you haven't developed the space that it needs for sabr and patience, because all humans need to grow up. Part of growing up as a human being is sabr. And sabr only comes when you give it some space for sabr. So there's got to be an opportunity while your child is young and they've been tested with siblings' rivalry. They've been tested with not having what they want, tested with long journeys together, testing with people in their own space and private space, tested with having to put up with family functions and meet people and greet them, and tested also with loneliness. Loneliness and, you know, all the opposites. They've got to be tested with all the opposites. So not traveling anywhere, been tested with that. Traveling somewhere, been tested with that. Having a lot of people around them, tested with that. Having people around them that they don't want to talk to. Having people around them that they do want to talk to. Getting too chatty, becoming less chatty and reserved. Every opposite needs to be created in the environment as the tarbiyah is being done. And shukr and sabr need to be, you know, equally balanced. So you give them enough that they appreciate things, but you don't give them enough that you create the zone for sabr. And when they display their sabr for you and they're able to show that, you know what, in life I won't get everything I want, but I'm still going to be happy and you know, get on with life, you've done the job, okay? Now, when it comes to their discipline, let me give you an example now. I'm spending this extra time with you. There's been quite a few days. I haven't posted any videos. So I thought, you know, let me give you something. I'm actually traveling at the moment quite a bit. So I'm not getting the time to send you regular videos every day. But let me give you this particular video and give you my time here. This week I've been traveling and I saw that, you know, my 12-year-old who's turning 13, he's kind of going through the same stage, all right? And I can't just suddenly deprive him of everything that he's got. Right? I've given him a lot as a dad. But and I also can't just, you know, the country's got a law. You can't smack children and blah, blah, okay? So we've got to respect that law as well. So what do I do, especially as an imam? What do I do? So one of the things I did is that he has got, you know, PlayStation 4. And he loves his PlayStation time. Now, we've already very clearly balanced the amount of time that he can spend with his PlayStation 4. So outside of the school holidays, they can only play on weekends. And even then, it's limited amount of time. Okay, that's with all the children. But now comes the holidays. Obviously, they want to try and play every single day. But if you give them too much PlayStation or Xbox or whatever console game it is, or even on the tabs and the tablets and whatever it is, right? You watch them. They'll play that. And a lot of, a lot of chemicals are being released in their brain because of the stimuli they're receiving in playing these games. And they feel that, they're locked in a zone. And their brain speed is, you know, probably going like a processor. Okay? And as they play and they play, it creates a world of excitement and glory, and you know, you're going from one level to another level, and it makes them feel really good. And suddenly, zap! You turn off the computer, or you turn off the console games, or you turn off the tablets and technology, and they kind of feel that the speed in the brain. You know, it doesn't feel nice to have all of that energy in the brain to come down again. Now they've got to deal with the normal world. And if you give them too many hours of this, you'll notice this, okay? I want you to comment on this later on, parents, right? You will notice that the kids will fight with one another. Because what's happening is that there's so much energy build up. And you suddenly switched off all the computers and the energy is still burning inside and they're looking for some stimuli and they can't find that same world they had. And then they turn to each other. All right. You'll see them very quickly messing around with each other, getting into little scraps and, you know, probably getting, you know, wanting to do something, but they just can't find enough to do. And then you've got this problem inside your house, which is, you know, you've got to discipline them now. Okay. And all these behavioral issues come up and you kind of think, what's wrong with you? Because I just gave you everything you wanted and you've been playing games and you've had fun and, you know, you must be loving life, yeah? And when we were young, we never had all of this. And you're thinking, what's wrong with you? But you've got to stop in your tracks and you've got to think that, you know what? These things you've given the kids, they're the things that are messing them up. So what I did is instead of banning him from PlayStation 4, banning him from loads of games. No, I didn't do that, okay? What I've kept in my house, for the record, is I've got a lot of games that they play, which is interactive, which is to do with real, you know, tangible games. So, for example, Lego, building things, having, you know, their own board games. We've got loads of board games at home, so they can play those. And, you know, mashallah, alhamdulillah, if you just switch off all these things and you let them go, eventually they calm down, their brain levels calm down, and they'll be playing those games, okay? We've got the football, we've got, you know, foosball for them, we've got table tennis, we've got pool, we've got games there, physical, tangible games they can play where they can interact with one another. However, what happens is, what I worked out is, and this is one way I disciplined the child, he's got a game that he really liked, okay? Something called Paladins or something. I don't even know half these games, okay? So when his behavioral issues became a problem, I said to him that he can't play that game. So it's a one game. So you ban him from one game, saying, no, you can't play that game. Because he really likes that game. And I noticed that every time he plays that game or he's playing with his cousins online or something, it kind of creates an extra energy boost inside him. And because of the lack of that after the games, he becomes even more boisterous and more challenging. So I banned that game now. Obviously, it's going to hurt him and he gets disciplined in that sense. He can play other games, fine. But you know what? He calmed down, right? But I banned him for about a week. I didn't tell him a week straight away. I said a few days, and now it's been a week. Now, as we were traveling, I noticed that, you know, again, the rivalry in the background of the car is doing my head in, doing my wife's head in. And this happens, guys. Look, it's normal for children to do this. Now, how do you discipline them? So what I did is I said, okay, fine. You know, you wanna start, you know, fighting with each other, you know, shouting and, you know, trying to, right? You wanna do all of that? And it's doing my head in and my wife's head in. I said, fine. When you go home, you're not playing anything. Okay? You're not playing any of these technological games. Now, you can play other games. The tangible ones are always available. But the ones that have the technology like the PS4 or the tablets or anything else, ban everything. Now, it's really helpful if you can minimize that or ban it or, you know, for a period of time. You don't want to keep it for too long. Okay, so that you can see the discipline, you know, get balanced again. All right, you don't have to smack them, hit them, or, you know, scold at them or tell them badly off. Or because I'm seeing the other side to this. As an imam, I'm getting calls from people, and one particular, you know, call, you know, involves these teenagers that are coming to the end of the teenage life. But because of the period between sort of 11 and 15 wasn't managed very well, it has adverse effects, okay? If you're disciplining your children, please remember this. This is the bottom line of what I'm going to give you. The bottom line is that the love they have for you should never go away, even when you're disciplining them. If you can achieve that level and you've always maintained that, you're on the right track. At the same time, they shouldn't feel audacious enough to say what they want to you, to do what they want to you, because you're not going to do anything, okay? So make sure it never gets to that level. So there is definitely a clear line that you better not cross this line, okay? There's got to be that. Otherwise, time out, you know, this, that, and so on, right? But at the same time, you know, you've got to maintain the love, okay? So what I mean by this, I want you to picture this. You've got someone in your adult world when you were young that used to discipline you or sometimes would say things to you, and you kind of hated them because you knew deep down inside they never liked you, okay? They never said that to you, but you felt it, all right? I know you did, because I've got people like that in my life. And there's other people who you had in your life who disciplined you, and you kind of felt inside yourself that, you know what? I like this person because this person cares for me. Even though they tell me off now and again, they care for me, right? Now, that's the difference. You want to be on the second side, which is they know you love them. They know you care for them. They know that even though you're disciplining them, the love is there. The respect is there. But also you draw a clear line. That's very important, that if they cross that line, then there are going to be consequences and you're not going to go easy on them, right? If they see that that's how you balance the discipline and get them through that stage of life. And if you can get them through that stage of life and the love and respect is there, you've given enough for them to appreciate you, but you haven't given enough that you keep a zone there, that you create the zone for sabr and patience, and you balance the two, you know, shukr, appreciation, sabr, patience. You do both. And you kind of take them through that up and down, that whole stage from 11 till about 15, right? Alhamdulillah, now you'll have kids, inshallah, that will still be disciplined, but they'll respect you, they'll love you, they'll appreciate you, they'll see you as an authority. If you break that relationship because you did something wrong in there and you got the balance wrong, unfortunately, you're going to feel the, you know, other end of this. And that means that you've got children that could be monsters, okay? They could turn around totally feeling that they hate you. They want to, you know, possibly, verbally they probably attack you. They might physically, you know, threaten you. May Allah forbid. But these are the dangers that you're facing on the other side, okay? So Allah has talked about a mizan in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, which is a balance. If in life you can always balance it, alhamdulillah, everything's fine. All right. So let me give an example. You're in a room and the temperature, you want it to be between 21 and 23 degrees Celsius. So if you keep it at that, you're fine. If you have less than 21 degrees, you're going to feel cold. If you have more than 23 degrees, you'll feel hot. If you keep it in between, you're fine. But to balance that, sometimes you have to open the windows and sometimes you have to keep the heating on. And sometimes you have to put the heating off and sometimes you have to just close the windows and not do anything at all. And you've got to just regulate the temperature in between. It will get too hot sometimes, but at other times it's going to get too cold. So you've got to heat it up when it's too cold, or you've got to cool it when it gets too hot, and that's the balance. With children, exactly the same thing. You've got to keep it in that zone. It's sometimes challenging, but if you can carry on doing that, you've hit the right spot, and inshallah, bismillah, your kids will grow to love you, appreciate things, have sabr where it's needed, and they'll be obedient children, inshallah. Okay, so I make dua that, you know, all parents and others who are with children are able to take this on board and do the best for children, inshallah. You know, I've got my own challenges, you've got your own challenges, but, you know, if we follow the right guidelines, inshallah, we'll make it through this, inshallah. And at some point, you've got to feel that, you know, children have grown up to adulthood, all right? I mean, there's one parent who was treating their children like a kid at the age of 15, 16. That's wrong, okay? If they're 15, 16, give them the respect of a 15, 16-year-old, and they'll give you the respect of a 35, 40-year-old. Okay, or a 45-year-old. If you give the respect of a 12-year-old and you still discipline them and talk to them nicely, they'll still respect and somewhat respect you and talk to you nicely at the age of 30, 32, 33, 35, whatever you are. But if you kind of belittle them, look down on them, and just, you know, make them feel that they're nothing, they're worth nothing, and there's kind of a bit of a hatred there, then they'll do the same thing with you. You know, that's the thing. And what goes around comes around. So may Allah Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq, and may He make us balance things rightly, and please, you know, they're your children, so get it right, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.